Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger. And with us today, we have Richard Hertreiter. He's an attorney, author, entrepreneur, and businessman. He's a lifelong Catholic and a dedicated advocate for principled business practices based on the application of Catholic social doctrine in entrepreneurial enterprise. He writes about a universal Catholic approach to problem solving while focusing on the primacy of the human person and family as the underlying purpose of economic development. Richard believes that our work must be inspired by faith with the goal of achieving our greatest profit and eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Today, we'll be discussing his book, Catholic Capitalism, Applying Scripture and Catholic Social Doctrine in Everyday Life, Work, and Business. Welcome to the show, Richard.
Thank you, Pete, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to both yourself and your listeners.
Awesome. You're quite welcome. It was a great book, and I can't wait to dive into it here today. But to begin with, what inspired you to write this book?
Yeah, inspiration is like one of those many different things. It's like a spider web that leads to the middle. But, you know, first of all, praise to God and the Holy Spirit for inspiring me and giving me the words to write. I know that there were many occasions when I sat down and wondered, okay, what do I write? And just prayed on it, and the words came. I think from a practical perspective, what had inspired me was I'm a cradle-to-death Catholic. I was born in an Irish Catholic family and attended parochial school and then Catholic high school for, you know, 12 years. And during all those years, and obviously decades after that, while identifying as Catholic and Christian, you know, as certain situations would arise or I'd find myself in crises in life or just asking questions, I wondered, what am I supposed to be? If I'm a Christian and a Catholic, what exactly does that mean? And through a period of my life, I went back and began to read the Bible on a daily basis and then got into kind of the underlying Catholic tradition that comes from Scripture. I saw this beautiful, it's not philosophy, but almost a code of life that's written out for us. And I decided that one thing is, there I was, a regular average Catholic. I had never heard of it, Catholic social doctrine. Some people call it Catholic social teaching. Mm-hmm. It had never been spoken to me in my classes or from the altar during homilies or whatever. They never used this language. And so after I had dedicated some time, some years to reading it, I felt there was a need for this book and that the book should be written in a way that I always considered myself an average person. I have a good education. I'm a lawyer, studied economics, political science. So I have kind of a privilege as far as what I can assess, get myself into and read and feel comfortable with. And that's not necessarily the case of every single person, the other average Catholic. And I found that these documents that constitute Catholic social doctrine could be scary, or, you know, leave the average Catholic thinking, oh, I can't get through that. That's 25,000 words of, you know, of Catholic specialty language and written in a certain way. And so I thought that there was a need for a book that would appeal to the average person in understandable language and practical terms and in ways that they could relate to see how our Catholic tradition, born in Christianity, also lays out the pathway for us to act, not just in our everyday life, but including in that, in our approach to our work and to our business.
Hmm. Now, when I first got the book, one thing threw me, and that was the title, Catholic Capitalism. And immediately the thing that dawned on me was money. But as I quickly discovered when I got through the book's about a more, so much more than that. It's about an application of life, basically. So can you tell us what Catholic capitalism is?
It's a good question, right? I mean, it's not just what's in the book. It's what's in the hearts and the minds and the spirit of each of us who declare ourselves to be Catholic.
Right.
When people ask me, why am I Catholic? The expression or the answer maybe that I give to them when Holy Spirit gives me the words to speak is, I can't call myself a Catholic unless I live a Catholic life. And the Church has given us these simple truths to follow and how to do that. And they include these principles of love and family and human dignity, equality, respect for life and neighbor, and living and working towards a common good of humanity in obedience to God. So the book begins with a thematic question that we must all ask ourselves. Am I going to heaven? And I tried to write the book from an interactive approach so that the book becomes very personal, a personal experience to the reader, because the reader's reading it from their perspective.
Right.
And these questions that are being asked, they're asking themselves. So there's no judgment coming. There's nobody knows the answers to these very important questions that you have to ask yourself, am I Christian or Catholic, except yourself. Hmm. And so capitalism, I mean, the title in ways speaks for itself, and in other ways it doesn't. Catholic means universal.
Right.
And so when I put that together with capitalism, to me, I'm writing from a Catholic perspective because this is where my person has been developed. But as Catholic means universal, these are the principles that we must understand when we think of ourselves as who are we as Catholics. These principles of Catholic social doctrine are also universal principles. And we share a lot of things in common as human beings, probably the first one being family. But as soon as we begin to move out of that, or even while we're young and primarily dealing within family, economics becomes a vehicle. It became the vehicle for me to write with, because we all share the needs, the same needs, and it plays a big part of our everyday life. So it's something that we can relate to, and we dedicate so many hours to earning income, acquiring wealth, spending our money.
Mm-hmm.
So Catholic capitalism, to me, was this way of conveying, if we live our lives as we are directed to by Jesus Christ as to be Catholic, and we practice that in our economic system, our capitalist system, then we together aggregate percentages, large percentages of us as Catholics, we can change the world. We can change the way that marketplaces are conducted. And we can actually get up in the morning and go to work and devise creative ideas on how to be closer to Christ in our work every day.
Mm-hmm. You keep dropping this word, and I think some people might not understand what that is, and that is Catholic social doctrine, and that's a cornerstone of this book. So my question is this. Can you give us an overview on Catholic social doctrine, and then we'll peel back the layers and talk about some principles within that?
Catholic social doctrine, Catholic social teaching, it's a developed response by the Catholic Church, primarily through the writings of the popes, also through other church documents. But it shows us how we, St. John Paul II used the term that our life, including our work, should be done to make us more human. And there's a quote that I use in my book that talks about what are the components, you know, of Catholic social doctrine. And it includes pretty much everything that we come in contact in our daily lives, from family relationships, work, community, faith, all of these various very large parts of our life, intangible sometimes parts of our life, they come together and form what the church now calls a kind of human ecology. It's this environment, this ecological environment that encompasses life and living in this world and how it affects us, and how we're to think about it, and what we're to do about it. In the first footnote, because I think this is an important distinction to make, we hear a lot of things about people talking about Catholicism and rigid rules and dogma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those things, everybody's entitled to opinions or misunderstandings. But the teachings of the Church in regard to Catholic social doctrine reflect the pure beauty of Catholicism and of Christianity. And so so the Church says, here are all these beautiful things, love, generosity, kindness, forgiveness, all of these beautiful things, and now put them to play in your life. And what it's not, very particularly, which I stress in the first footnote of the book, is it's not a political theory. The Church specifically ties it into us as humans. It's our human physical self and it's our spiritual self. And the Church looks at it as a reasoned approach to the application of faith to real circumstances. And this is a quote from the Church's Compendium of Social Doctrine. Okay. It says, the Church's social doctrine finds its essential foundation in biblical revelation and is the tradition of the Church. Faith, which receives the divine word and puts it into practice, effectively interacts with reason. The understanding of faith, especially faith leading to practical action, is structured by reason and makes of use of every contribution that reason has to offer. That makes it very personal to us, because we can believe whatever we want, but it's the practical application of what we believe in life that is so important as we search for our eternal life. And by the Church recognizing and essentially integrating scripture with it and saying, it's this beautiful gift that God has given us that defines us as humans as opposed to something else, and that's the ability to reason. And so whatever we're dealing with, whoever it is, whatever type of judgment we have to make or decision we have to make, applying that reason from the basis of our faith is what brings us closer in our relation to God. And it also allows us a way to live our faith in this material world, and all these things that we have to do, interact every day with people and work and business and the government and everything else.
Right.
So I think it's important to understand what Catholic social doctrine is and what it is not. It's not an excuse to use religious tenet for maybe purely nationalist purposes.
Right.
That is a type of reasoning, but that's not the reasoning that the church is talking about. The nation that the church is talking about and the application of reason is to the spiritual nation of the kingdom of God. And so we have to kind of look at it that way. We have to open ourselves up and say, there's something more than just the day-to-day activities that we're doing. And this is where Catholic social doctrine becomes so important, because it teaches us, yes, there is, and here's how you can recognize it and live it.
Good stuff. And that builds our foundation for the next few segments. And we're going to take a quick break. You can listen to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. And we'll be right back. In a consumer-driven world where we're told we need and deserve more, Susan Muto, Executive Director of the Epiphany Association, reminds us that gratefulness is a gift from God. In Gratefulness, the Habit of a Grace-Filled Life, she reveals that grateful living is not another new fad, but has been the way of saints and Christian mystics for centuries. In this insightful, inspiring book, she explores how life-changing a spirit of gratefulness can be, by using both personal and well-known examples of the struggles and rewards of grateful living. Find Gratefulness by Susan Muto at AveMariaPress.com or look for it wherever books and ebooks are sold. Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Socks, a Catholic book blogger, and with us today we have Richard Hurtreiter, the author of Catholic Capitalism, Applying Scripture and Catholic Social Doctrine in Everyday Life, Work, and Business. And Richard, last segment we left off discussing exactly what Catholic social doctrine is as an overview, and I'd like to peel back the layers of it somewhat and look at it, some of these principles of Catholic social doctrine. And as you go through your book, the first one you bring up is love. And what does the church teach us through Catholic social doctrine about love?
It is the primary pillar, I don't know how else we could describe it, of our faith. The Catholic Church, when they began to formulate what we now look at as the Catholic social doctrine of the church, they began looking, this is a work that the church has been doing since about 1891, when Pope Leo XIII originally began to consider what became known as, in the church, the social question. And with Catholic social doctrine beginning in the word of Jesus Christ, Pope Leo XIII and the popes coming after him were saying the world was changing. The Industrial Revolution had come, and all of these excesses of capitalism were being exposed. And how does the church deal with all this? How do the faithful deal with all this? From that long tradition, all the way up through Francis, many writers on the principles of Catholic social doctrine kind of narrow it down. Maybe a consensus might say that there's probably seven pillars that form the basis for Catholic social doctrine. However, when you read my book, you will see that I have at least 20 different principles of Catholic social doctrine.
Right.
And the one that you point out that I begin with, which is not normally set out as a pillar in traditional teaching, the one that I use is love, because love is the foundation of who we are as Christians and Catholics. It's the lessons that we learn from Scripture where this all begins. Jesus gave us one new commandment. He said, love each other as I have loved you. John, the apostle, who was with Jesus all these days in his ministry, walking around, so he's getting this firsthand information from the Christ about God. He's talking about his Father. John writes the simplest three words that you could possibly use to describe who we are as Christians or must be, and it's God is love. And so in Catholic social doctrine, we are given God's unconditional love for Jesus Christ. We have to accept that as Christians. That's the beginning. That's the foundation of who we are and how we're transformed. And then God asks us to then take that unconditional love and to take it out to others and right. to give it to them. As Jesus said, in the same way that he gives it to us, which is unconditional.
Right.
And so I use that as the first principle, because you must start there. You must find love in your heart, and you must find it in your heart through acceptance of that love from God. And all the other things that we're to do as Christians and Catholics and faithful starts with this closeness and our relation with God in love. And so all of the other principles that we'll discuss, solidarity, subsidiarity, human dignity, without love is the foundation, love of God and love of our fellow men and women on this earth, there are no other principles.
Right, right. And you're right. It naturally leads into others. And since you brought it up, let's go ahead to that one. In the probably one of the strongest principles in Catholic social doctrine is human dignity and equality. And that boils down to the fact that a just society has respect for the transcendent dignity of the human person. That's a lot of big words there for some. What does all of that mean?
Well, the principle of human dignity, it comes from, we'll call it a principle in Catholic social doctrine, but it's something else. It's a gift from God. We are a part of God's creation. God creates each one of us individually and gives us our life. We gain our dignity from that very act of God. Nobody can take that away from us, although in our modern world, they try to take it away from us all the time. And so that foundational principle of we have human dignity as a creation of God Almighty, that is the thing that gives us character, gives us confidence, gives us strength, and we have to work to protect that. Each one of us owe it to ourselves to try to maintain it and to battle through it when we're being challenged. Each of us owes it to our fellow human persons because we're all part of the same creation. And that same human dignity that God gives into us is the same human dignity that God has put into somebody else's life. Regardless of who they are, what they look like, where they come from, what language they speak, we are all instilled with the same human dignity. And that principle of human dignity, you ask it very well here with this consequential principle of equality.
Right.
If we all have the same dignity inherent from our creation by the Almighty, then we're equal.
Mm-hmm.
We're all born equal. And so that equality is something to be prized and celebrated and to for each of us to protect in each other. And so Catholic social doctrine includes this principle of, look, we're all the same.
Right.
And it's only through these acts of, I don't know what you want to call them, where people are always trying to separate us,
mm-hmm.
that we begin to focus on differences.
Right.
And then attack the differences. And as when we attack the differences, we then use that as an excuse to say, oh, well, we're not all equal. And therefore, we can treat some less equal than ourselves.
You keep bringing up two words throughout our discussion in the last two segments, and I want to focus on the first of those, and that's solidarity. What exactly is solidarity?
Solidarity is this principle of we're all in this together. It flows, as you can see why I included these other principles. They flow from each other. None of them are standalone. They're one-offs. It's all integrated as how we're supposed to be as Christians. And solidarity is this recognition in us that we all suffer the same pains in life. We all are trying to achieve the same things for our families and for ourselves, success, peace, happiness. And solidarity is this principle that because each of us are equal and have this profound dignity instilled in us by our Creator, that we have to recognize in each one of us this vision of Christ, that we're going to work together. We're going to work together to build this world that He wants us to build, and that where we see people who need our help, we're going to go to them. We're going to be attracted to them because this is part of our responsibility and what should be our nature as Christians.
Gotcha. And the other one that we brought up numerous times is subsidiarity. So what does that constitute? And again, these are words that probably listeners aren't familiar with, so we're going to familiarize them with these today.
Yeah, subsidiarity is one of those terms. I'm a lawyer. I've read, millions of words and stuff. And this word subsidiarity, when I read it and I, realized, oh, this is a term of art that the church is using with a specific meaning, I kind of thought the same thing. Why use that word? It's a word that nobody hears in normal life.
Right.
And yet it's such an important principle of who we are as Catholics, what our Catholic faith is. In subsidiarity, kind of in a nutshell, is again, building on these other principles, is that since God created us with human dignity, and he created us with our own innate abilities to develop as human beings, then we have a human right to be able to fulfill, to find and fulfill our full human potential, both in our work satisfaction and in our faith. And so subsidiarity is a principle that says that decision-making, you know, I call it the democratization of decision-making. It's that each person has something to give. You may not even know what it is until you listen to them or you engage them in the questions or the discussion. But subsidiarity means that the decision-making should be allowed to be made by the people who are closest to the condition that is being addressed or the problem that needs to be solved, because they're the ones in the trenches, and that there should be in the hierarchy this movement towards allowing contribution by people from the bottom up in order to solve problems, so that not only does the upper echelon receive the benefit, but that all of those people who are in that process moving up are fulfilling and becoming, you know, their whole person.
Gotcha. And that's another great point. And we're going to come back. We're going to take another quick break, and we're going to look at how we can apply Catholic social doctrine to our lives, no matter what station we are in our lives. You're listening to Off the Shelf, and we'll be right back. Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Paying too much for your healthcare costs? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more info, call 844-313-4999. Again, that's 844-313-4999, or visit SolidarityHealthShare.org. That's SolidarityHealthShare.org. Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger. We're here today with Richard Hertreiter, the author of Catholic Capitalism, Applying Scripture and Catholic Social Doctrine in Everyday Life, Work, and Business. Covered a lot of ground here, and I want to talk a bit, Richard, about how we can apply these principles of Catholic social doctrine to our everyday life. Again, there's more here than we discussed or have time to discuss today, so I encourage everyone to go out and get your book so that they can discover what they are. But in your first chapter, and I think it's a pretty significant to our conversation today, the first chapter is entitled Finding Our Purpose Through Faith. And that seems to be a significant struggle for people as they go through their daily routines. How does one discover that purpose of their life?
This is probably the great question of humankind, right?
Right.
Been asked since we first came together in society and civilization and had a little bit of time on our hands other than looking for food or shelter. For myself, you know, there was this moment of, I don't know if it's crystallization or something actually has meaning, right? It's that light goes off. And so I had been reading scripture for a decade and reading the papal encyclicals and the mm-hmm. church documents that make up Catholic social doctrine. And so I'm introspective, I'm thinking about this, and there's this point that St. John Paul II makes about us being Christian, being disciples of Christ. And he says the ultimate reward or the ultimate goal is to live this life this way, to, quote, become more human. Mm. And that struck me very deeply. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, well, what does that mean, to be more human? And, you know, God created us as human. We were created in perfection. The child that's born today and tomorrow, this beautiful procreation, is born human. What then? What do they then have to do to become more human? And this is where Catholic social doctrine develops us as Christians and Catholics by applying the scripture to it. As we go through life, we discover many reasons and purposes as to why we're here, why we think we're here. Family, service to others, working towards a better life. Everybody has these purposes. But all of those, when taken together, they still leave us asking kind of that deep personal question. What is my larger purpose?
Yep.
Why did God place me here on earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we can struggle with this all our lives, pondering it. This is where our Christian and Catholic identity is tested, I think, and our true faith is tested. And this is a lot of what my book is about. But Jesus is very clear about our purpose and why we're here. And so we have to go back to our fundamental reason. When we ask ourselves, when the reader reads the book and asks themselves the question, am I Christian? Am I Catholic? Why? And what does that mean? Jesus gave us this purpose, this clear, defined purpose, to know the unconditional love of God and to share it with all of his creation. I mentioned it before. Jesus gave us just one new commandment. Love your neighbor as I have loved you. And again, he taught the apostles who teach us, God is love.
Mm-hmm.
So this progression through life, what the church calls integral human development, is our purpose. It's our growing in relation to God. It's to learn to get to know God's love and to share it. And as Christians and Catholics, the one thing we all have in common is we seek eternal life in the kingdom of God. God is love, and our relationship with God is love. And love liberates us in our relationship with God and with others. And by giving ourselves to Jesus Christ and finding, experiencing, sharing this life, this is our ultimate purpose here on earth. Mm-hmm. We search for so many other things, the acquisition of wealth, status, power, whatever it is. But when you break it all down, it's very simple. Our purpose is to give ourselves to Jesus Christ. the rest of our lives will flow out of that.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you're mentioning some things there that are sparking some memories in my mind, and it leads to another question. Many people know I left a 20-year job in a factory environment where I was a quality control technician dealing with corrective actions and internal audits and stuff in the secular world. So we talk about people finding their purpose in life. And as that career wound down and as I found something else, it became more difficult in the mornings to find purpose in that career path. So looking at that side of business, which you do in your book, you take a look at the person from the worker standpoint. And many people are stuck in a job that they really don't like, but they have to do it. So how does one approach work through the lens of faith, particularly when they would rather be spending their time doing something else?
I think that last sentence that you said there kind of is the focus point. Is how do you dedicate yourself to this idea, this concept of work, when you really rather be doing something else? God was a hard worker. Mm. We meet God in the Bible. He's creating the universe. And so work is then given to us. It's a noble profession for us to go out and work. God looked at his work and found that he was good, and it gave him satisfaction. Mm-hmm. I think that's the same lesson that he's teaching to us. The ability to look outside of the daily problems, the stress, the threats, the danger of finances or of relationship issues coming from, you know, all these things that flow out of work. If you look at it a slightly different way, work is probably the one area that we spend most of our time at in life. Okay. After you get through the basics, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're spending more time in our hours at work. Why should our work then be something that we don't want to be doing? Mm-hmm. Why would we spend the majority of our life doing something that we didn't want to do? I spent much of my life doing things I didn't want to do. As I get older and more mature, I can understand I had to travel that path one step at a time to get from there to here. Mm-hmm. Right? And I have a completely different perspective than what I did as a younger man. But when you take all the beautiful teachings of Jesus Christ and you take all of the beautiful, thoughtful and compassionate writings of the church about who we're supposed to be and why we're supposed to be and how work is such an essential part of who we are as human persons. If we offer ourselves to Jesus Christ, if we accept Jesus Christ in our life, and we know that work is a part of our human life, and we know that Jesus Christ is with us every second of our life, and we realize that whatever the work is, whether you're the CEO of the biggest company in the world or somebody who's digging trenches and laying cable lines, that work is a gift from God. There's a reason you're doing that. It's a path. This is a footprint that you're leaving on your path to your eternal life.
Definitely. Very good analogy.
Well, you know, what does that mean? How do you do that? How do you realize that? And I began to think, and I read this, Pope Benedict wrote about this, is that offering my work as a prayer to God every day, mm-hmm. it's going to do a few things. One is, if I'm doing work that isn't meant for me, and I'm having those internal conflicts, and it's pulling me away from my faith and from my God, you know, I'm getting the message. I need to move on and go find something else. And maybe I'm thinking about my work in a manner that maybe I need to change that. Right? We all work because we've been told. We have a society that's created a paradigm of exactly how we're supposed to live our lives, value our work, value our person, and mostly it's through status, money, collectibles, authority, all of these things. Maybe that paradigm that has been created through centuries of governments forming, economies forming, and those who control those systems needing us all to think and act in a certain way in order to sustain the system that they built and to make it work the way that they say, oh, this is the right way. Mm-hmm. Maybe we bought into a system that we need to rethink, and we need to turn back to God and to look what God is telling us and what Jesus Christ is telling us and what the church is telling us. And if we offer our very best every day, no matter what we're doing, and we offer that as a prayer to God, so there's no hiding. There's no sloughing off. Mm-hmm. And you know that you're getting your ultimate reward, even if you're going to suffer and struggle in whatever that job opportunity is, then you are ultimately doing exactly what you're supposed to do in life. And that is to work towards your eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ, because you're living the life that he's telling you to live. And you don't have to be the subject of being demoralized and having your human dignity stripped from you. You have a voice and you have the strength, and God gives you the confidence to stand up and say, I'm a person. I'm a human person, and I'm striving to become more human and a better person. And if I realize that that's not what I'm doing here, and I need to follow what God's telling me to do and go find that. So when I get up in the morning and I go to work, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it because I know I'm working for God.
Right. And that's great advice. We're going to take one more quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Redbox Media.
To help others, especially in places of strife such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way: buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land gift shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and today we've had with us Richard Hurtwriter. He's the author of Catholic Capitalism. And Richard, one of the things that I found out about you through reading your book and getting to know you a bit is this business venture you built called CatholicDentalPlans.com. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is all about and how you took Catholic social doctrine and applied to that creation of that business?
Thank you for asking that question. This is a big part of my life and my life vocation. when I had spent so much time reading Catholic social doctrine as it was had been developed, and then reading the underlying scripture, and thinking, okay, this is speaking directly to me, and it's telling me how I need to live my life, what do I have to look like as a man. And in order to do that, I had to think about this question of how do you take theology, religious theology or religious teachings, and then turn them into a tangible Western-style capitalist business. It goes against the paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to sketch out what would be some of the necessary pieces of a for-profit business that I could then associate with the principles of Catholic social doctrine. So I began doing the sketch out of what had to be included as foundational principles of the company. Charity was one that was very important. It's one of the primary principles of Catholic social doctrine. So I included in the business model the foundational principle of 10% of the earnings of this company are going to go to charity. That's my obligation as a Christian, as a Catholic, and to live my life this way. And so I build out a system that a person who would purchase one of our products, which are discount dental plans, when they purchase the product, they could select their Catholic church, and there's about 17,000 of them nationally, and that we would then donate 10% of the earnings from that sale to that Catholic church that they selected. And so I built CatholicDentalPlans.com within a company called DMCO Marketing. And it's built for Catholics. It's built for them to understand that we can practice our faith and work, business, spending, and living confident and energized in our Catholic faith. And we can still make a difference in the world and the economic market by coming together. We need to build and support a system, a capitalist system, that actually grows our faith and spreads the gospel and the word of Jesus Christ. And we don't have to sacrifice financial success in doing so, because we as body Catholic can be united in purpose. So the CatholicDentalPlans.com is a website that markets discount dental plans. They're not insurance products. Mm-hmm. They're more like, I guess you could say, a Costco card, where you buy a membership, and instead of paying full price, you pay a percentage of the price. Mm-hmm. The discount plans that we offer, Aetna and Carrington, soon to be Humana, are products that when the person goes to the dentist, they will receive a 20 to 60% discount off their dental fees. And they're affordable products ranging from $100 to $250 for a family and senior plans with many different add-on benefits. And the idea behind the company is to not only obviously become a sustainable piece of work and to make a profit, but to become a prototype, to demonstrate to other Catholics who are wondering that same question, how do I work and do something that fulfills me and satisfies me on more than just the level of wages? And so the microeconomic example of that I used in the book is CatholicDentalPlans.com, and said, look, here's a visual. this is where you begin, this is why you begin, and then this is how you actually structure out a real company to be able to put Catholic social doctrine and scripture to work every day in your life and in your business. Mm-hmm. And these are products that millions of people nationally utilize and save money with.
Mm-hmm. So how does one go signing up for these products?
You would go to CatholicDentalPlans.com, all one word, and when you land on the website, you will see the a search engine, so you can click on it, and then it shows you all the plans that are available, everything from a plan that includes your dental benefits and vision and prescription and LASIK benefit to ones that include 15 add-ons like free doctor telephone conversations and discounted lab work and hearing supplies and diabetic supplies. So they have a varying sliding scope as to what each one of them offers. But you can buy them for family. You can buy them for individually. They're annual. And you'll save money when you use it.
Good deal.
I can give you an example.
Go ahead. Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to go and give us an example of how it works.
Very practical example, too. One, my friend has two children. They're both of the age where they need braces. By utilizing one of these discount plans from Catholic Dental Plans, you can go to the dentist, and instead of them paying or you having to pay the full fee for service, which for kids' braces are $4,000 to $5,000, mm-hmm. you could save $1,500 to $2,000 by presenting one of these cards for the plans. Those are already pre-negotiated prices, so there's a tremendous discount there. On a second one recently, and unfortunately and painfully, I broke a tooth, a molar, and I go to the dentist. I'm using my plan, a Catholic dental plan, and my dentist gives me an estimate of $2,400. I needed a root canal and a crown. Mm. Right? That happens to a lot of us as we get older. And by utilizing the plan, I paid, instead of that $2,400 and change, I think I paid about $1,600. So I saved $800 from that one tooth on that dentist visit. So it's a good product. Mm-hmm. And working for good, for common good, it also includes working with good products, with good companies, right? With good intent.
Right.
And so sector of business with these discount dental plans is a very good product. People save money. And we all have this, and it's a necessary product. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to go to the dentist. People with children, their children have to go to the dentist. It costs a lot of money to go to the dentist. Yep. They can't afford it, but they still have to go to the dentist. By purchasing one of these dental discount cards on CatholicDentalPlans.com, they will save significant dollars. They will provide not only the dental care, but because dental care is such an important part of your overall health care, they're taking care of their whole bodies, mm-hmm. and they're doing it for much less money than they would normally have to pay.
That's good stuff. So we're pretty much out of time, Richard, but I want to give you a little bit of time here to tell us where people can find your book, Catholic Capitalism, Applying Scripture and Catholic Social Doctrine in Everyday Life, Work, and Business.
The book is available on all the major book distribution marketplaces on the Internet. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. All of those outlets will have it. It is I think the book sells for $12.50 in its book form. And it's maybe, I think we've reduced it to like $5 so people can buy the e-books and download them immediately. Mm-hmm. And so included in the books are two different sample guides for incorporating all of these principles into your life. And what you will find is very, very simple ways, just really a matter of becoming aware, becoming self-aware of how you speak, how you treat other people, how transparent you are. So I think if nothing else, just being able to get a look at, for a reader, you know, maybe 100 different items, none of which cost you a dollar to do, how you can actually live out your faith and be focused on your ultimate goal of finding your way into the kingdom of heaven.
Good stuff. And with that, that's all we have time for today. Richard, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule and spending time with us. Any closing thoughts?
Well, thank you very much, Pete. I enjoyed writing the book. I learned a great deal, not only about our faith, but about myself. And I appreciate the opportunity for bringing this to your listeners. And I wish them all many blessings. And to you, Pete, as well, with your family. And I wish everybody a long and happy life and an eternal life in the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.
How many people we could help, and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.